best fellow workers that are at the back there.
I played was a commercial spot from a bunch of radio commercials that they produced, and then I played their first release, which was Let's Sing in Esperanto, and then I played another commercial spot, and then next up is going to be
if you want to play Nate,
we'll teach them also. So
if you want, I could just start it since I'm
over.
See ya. DJ Doug with you till midnight with my very special guest Paul, because see, now there's room, you can move over there. Yes.
just sit down. All right. Sit down there. Uh-huh. Sit down there.
Down there.
Plug this into your ear.
Ear.
Right, just put it right in. I don't have to put it. You can't hear me, can you?
Right ear.
It's the ESP sampler I'm going to put in your ear, on your left ear. Your right ear, I mean. And we're going to play that for you right now and right. See how that interferes with your hearing.
Oh.
How's that? Mm. Yeah, I like that. Put it on the other ear now. Left ear.
Ah. I can hear
99
you.
99 cents.
I can hear you in it.
Right, 99 cents. The whole album is yours. You can hear everything you want. 40 artists.
If only Helen Keller could have had 99 cents.
Helen Keller? What do you mean? Pearls Before Swine, Pharoah Sanders, Noah Howard, Milford Graves.
This is great. I'm going to call up some of my deaf friends. We'll all take one.
Ceiling is beginning to bulge downstairs. It's from upstairs, from the floor here. There's too much weight in your apartment.
What's that?
All those records.
Yeah, the records.
What do you have all these records here for?
ESP Records, my friends. I don't eat or sleep anymore. They give me energy.
Wait. You don't need all these records here when you can have just one record, one light brown wafer record that you can play that has everything that all these things have.
How much you cost?
99 cents for this record. It's one record. The
ESP sampler.
Look what's on this record. Pearls Before Swine, Albert Eiler, The Fugues, Sun Ray, Arnett Coleman, Steve Lacy,
Allen Ginsberg Energy, give it to
William Burroughs.
Give it.
Relax, all right? Hold on. Sit down. Let's throw these other records out.
Now we're live.
I want the world to know that this talking over music is not ESP disc.
Of course not, but radio shows just letting have a little bit of like background.
Like, what's
music.
That run?
But this isn't music. This is just like a loop of a Nintendo game.
Yeah, right.
What is music, man?
I'm not picking like a real song.
Should I bring out the bongos?
Because like this is like this is we're talking now, right?
Uh huh.
Now we're talking. That's a little weird. So there we go.
I get you.
Okay. So no, this is not ESP Disc. This is DJ Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Parker Stores, DJ Lil His Muffet's here.
And hello.
Paul was nice enough to come with a selection of very rare ESP disc.
Some are not so rare, but yeah.
A very collective collection of ESP disc.
Collective collection, yes.
You have everything in the in their catalog, from what I've been told?
I'm only missing one, really, that's like $1,000 record, so it's just kind of like...
Yeah, you listen happens. On YouTube, I guess.
The Haru percussion ensemble is just not easy to get.
One day. When I win the lottery, it's your birthday present.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's good to have goals.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, New York label, how did ESP Disc start?
Well, Bernard Stolman, the guy who started it, first put out a Esperanto folk record, which we heard earlier, and he was an Esperanto speaker and an enthusiast, and up until the day he died, he was still going to festivals and gatherings and stuff with that.
Wow.
So he put that out first with the idea that it would just help change the world, and with the new world interlanguage.
World language, yes.
Then I think later, like a year or so later, he was dragged into a club to see Albert Ayler from a friend of his, and he was just blown away and found himself going up to Albert after the show and saying, "Hey, I'm starting a record label and I want you to be the first artist on it." You know, he'd already put out that other one, but
yeah.
And from there it snowballed into like, "Hey, do you have any friends that do this kind of stuff too?" And he's like, Yeah, these guys and he just kind of fell into that world of the free jazz world of putting out records that no one else would touch at the time.
I was about to say, yeah, so he kind of hit like a gold mine of...
Yeah.
Hey, please, you want to put our stuff out? No one wants to do that.
Yeah, and it was before Impulse or any other major jazz labels would touch that stuff.
Yeah.
For the most part.
For a bit of context, what began your relationship and interest with ESP Records?
I first read about it in Ornette Coleman's biography. It's one of those things where it was 1995, and I was just like highlighting any kind of artist or thing that sounded interesting in that book, and would immediately go to record stores and immediately not find any of them. It was probably 5 years later before I got an actual ESP original pressing of something, which was the sampler, which was a total letdown because the sampler had only just clips from all the artists, like 30-second clips.
That's depressing.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man. But it was like, it's something. But it kind of got me started on like knowing what other things were on the label, because there was just this kind of like pre-internet being like the go-to place. There's no YouTube type stuff to like check things out. There's no Discogs.
Yeah, you'd read the liner notes.
eBay had just kind of started. ZYX reissued a bunch of their CDs in the 90s, and so those would pop up from time to time, and I'd find those more than I would find any of the original stuff. But eBay really helped with finding stuff, because record stores just wouldn't have them, or they'd be on the wall and be like, $30! I mean, that's how much records cost now, but back then I was just like, oh my god.
It was prohibitive.
I have to bring in 50 records to trade for this one $30 record.
Right.
In fact, when Grooves first opened, they had a copy of Bells with the silk screen on the wall, and I was like, ooh, I want this, and he's like, and I went home and grabbed a bunch of stuff to trade. And then took it home, and it was so warped it wouldn't play on my record player.
Oh, no.
And it was so much money to me at the time, and I actually brought it back, and it was like, I can't even play this. Like, I wish I would have kept it now, just because it's just
keep the cover and put a reissue in there.
Yeah, unplayable.
Yeah, but yeah, that's yeah. Anyway,
he should give you a little bit of a heads up on that one.
Yeah,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Whatever. So yeah.
And you collect more than just records from ESP?
Yes, I do,
Doug.
Please elaborate.
I collect all sorts of records.
Probably listeners. So.
Everything but Broadway musicals, pretty much. And
oh, I didn't mean that. I mean, you have other than records from the label, yes. You have other items?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have a lot of ephemera from the label.
Ephemera, yes. That's
yeah, like old catalogs and old pamphlets and old, like, mailers and old letters and buttons and cassettes and 8-tracks.
Why
and
are you holding on to all that specifically?
How?
Or no, why? Why are you holding on to it?
Like you said, I kind of like the label archivist.
That's what I was getting at.
Okay.
I was trying to say,
you're steering me in a direction.
How did you? I was trying to steer you in a direction. Yeah. How did you kind of like push yourself into being the somewhat official archivist or archivist of this label?
I kind of fell into it by like nerding out and making a little website. And I would just, like, whenever a new release would pop up that I didn't know about, I would add it to the website and be, like, excited. And
GeoCities?
Maybe, yeah, probably. It was during that time. It was probably 2000. And then the owner somehow tracked my phone number down, I think through, like, register.com, like, finding who owns the URL, which was totalshutdown.com. And he called me one day. One morning, and I was just thought it was a prank. He's just like, "Hey, this is Bernard Stolman," and just like ramped, like going a mile a minute. And I was just like, "What?" I was like half asleep, and he's like, "I'm starting the label up again, and da 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 da, and I'm gonna send you a box of CDs of the reissues, and da da da," and like,
"Wow,
I'm doing the Esperanto stuff still, and I've got these new speakers, quad systems, and like just going on tangents, like super ADD.
Yeah, yeah.
And like 3 days later, I got
time a few coffees in before
you. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. A few days later, I got a gigantic box in the mail of like 30 CDs and a bunch of other stuff, which was really, really
cool.
How
far back does your collection go?
Like when I started collecting, or
from. What am I trying to say? Like, from when the years of when it started?
The label started in 65.
Yeah, and does your collection go back to 65?
Oh, yeah, I have all the ones except for one.
Yes. Thank you for understanding what I was trying to ask.
Yeah, I get you.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's great. So your collection archives from the very beginning, which is super impressive.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's anyone else out there
that
collects, or has it a collection that rivals yours?
I'm sure there's plenty of people, but none of them have really, like...
So, since he got in touch with you, there's probably not as many as you think.
Yeah.
Since the owner's getting in touch with you on your website.
This website's still up.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, there's not... I mean, there's a lot of fans that have contacted me, a lot of people that were collecting it as it came out and stuff.
That's great.
And telling me little stories how they would always be in the dollar bin or the cutout bin because no one wanted them back then.
But it's just because they didn't know.
Yeah.
And most collector records.
A lot of their records didn't have any information on the cover. It would just be a picture of an artist's face, and that's it. So,
which is hip now, but wasn't then.
At the time, it was like, and I asked Bernard, like, why they chose to do that. And he's like, I just wanted the integrity of the artist to be the most important thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, not trying to use names or titles.
Sometimes the best records are the unassuming ones, right?
Like, for sure.
Sometimes I just buy something because I'm like, I have no idea who this is or what this is or what this label is. But, you know, like, my spidey sense just tells me this is good and I'm going to buy it. And sometimes I'm sorely disappointed and sometimes I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And
all their records are amazing. So,
is there a sorely disappointed record in the collection that you know of?
Oh, not
the
original. I mean, tonight I'm going to be playing a lot of the non-jazz stuff just because the jazz tracks are very long and it would kind of take up most of the time.
We could always have another show where we just play jazz tracks and don't talk.
That's true. We could do that next time.
Yeah.
So I'm playing a lot of like the weirder kind of folky stuff. And some of the folk stuff is pretty straightforward folk, but I'm playing... Tonight I'll play the stuff that I kind of feel are a little weirder or a little more interesting.
It's not like Arhuli straightforward. It's still a little bit weird, right?
Some are very Arhuli straightforward.
Really?
But not very many, just a few.
Okay.
Is it stuff that you would typically reach for, or is it...
No.
Okay.
I mean, I like folk music, but I'm not like a super hardcore folk collector or whatever. Should we play some more tracks?
That sounds wonderful.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get some music going. I'm going to, again, I'm DJ Doug with Paul Castores here till midnight. Playing ESP Disc and Little Kiss Muffet DJ.
Thank you. shot me full of lead. You put a bullet through my head. You made me feel like I was dead, but I knew that it was you instead. So I continued dreaming. Upon a heather, and the weather was feeling so fine. I thought I must be dreaming, 'cause the faces I saw were sublime. Then it struck me like a whip. I felt so suicidal and I thought I would flip, but I sailed away on your blueberry ship, and the nightmare was over. The new moon was arriving with a clarity few people noticed, led me to my thoughts about my feelings about my old friend Otis. He was a satisfied man with his songs, and when the band played, they could do no wrong. They sold millions, it didn't take them too long, but they passed on so well.